Anyway, Psalms 97. Psalms 97. All right, Psalms 97. We got down last time pretty close to the end of the chapter. Let me read from verse 9. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth, thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. That's something you wouldn't hear much about in mainstream churches. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. We closed last time talking about light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. So light is sown for the righteous. And what we can easily say, and this is what we closed talking about a little bit last time, said I'd go into it a little more, is plainly, light is sown in the Bible for anybody that'll get in the Bible and find the light. Plainly, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, came and shined into our darkness. But I wanted to just take a little time here with this light being sown for the righteous. And Old Testament-wise, that's a righteous man seeking light. Now today we know that we get our righteousness from Jesus Christ by imputation. But, you know, still, somebody has to desire the truth. At some point, somebody has to not just love being lied to. Look, if you will, I'm not sure that we didn't cover just a verse or two, but look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me run through some things here. Let me remind you a little bit of the treasure that you have in, trafficking in the truth, where me and you have a chance to come here no matter what you do and no matter where you work and no matter how much radios in your ears, how many billboards you see, how much they have the news on at work or whatever else. You and I have the chance to come here at least twice a week, really three, dividing, Sunday into two, and just pretty much get the truth. Pretty much just get the light, right? And from a source that doesn't have any corruption in it. And just what a treasure that is, and what a, that people are big on resources these days. Everything's a resource. Well, talk about a resource. Man, folks, the book is a resource. Because it brings light and the seed of the Word of God. It brings, it brings a brilliant light to any subject. And so, just remind you about the valuation of the truth that you have, that we get to traffic in all the time. We take it for granted. Most people aren't like us. They don't come to church for four different sessions a week, and then more than that sometimes when we have special meetings. But if you're here all the time, you're here for Sunday school, for church Sunday night, and for Wednesday night, and in that time, somebody's just standing up here all the time going through the book, and, how different that is from what most people have at Berkeley or the U of M, or you just name any other place on earth. And just remember that. And let me take you to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going off that light is sown for the righteous. And I'm acknowledging that the righteous, it's not just right people that get it, but there has to be something that precedes the truth. The truth is usually encapsulated in something. That's if somebody doesn't really want the light, doesn't really want the truth, they're going to be discouraged by that thing. Now, look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and notice down, if you would, in verse 9, it's talking here about the Antichrist. You can see that from verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed. So this is coming up, in the great tribulation, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So somebody is going to have been lied to and they will have seen some powerful things, and yet they're still going to die and go to hell. And so it says then in verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. You realize that there's going to be a bunch of people in the great tribulation that they're not born in the tribulation, they're born in the church age. And they wound up going into the tribulation because they refused the knowledge of the truth. Okay, so there you have an entire generation of people for whom it says, with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for that cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, my point here is that here is light sown. The Lord sows light into everybody's life at some level or another. Maybe it's conscience. Maybe it's a guilty conscience. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe you saw the John 3:16 sign in the end zone on TV or something like that. But there's light sown. And if somebody's hungry and listening, wants the truth, then it's there for them. But all too often, they never go for it. And so may we at least say that may we never be among those that just don't want to hear it. And you get saved, you are saved, and you've been saved for a while, and you hear bits and pieces of that, and because you're so filled, it's really easy to get, you know, kind of satisfied where you are, and there are just some subjects you don't really want to go further into. That's a bad deal. Because the truth is the truth, and the Lord wants you to have the whole body of truth. Now look, if you will, as I get a little bit further into this, Proverbs chapter 1, and we saw this on Sunday, but Proverbs 1, and when you consider these sequences, they are really important. Notice Proverbs 1:20, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Sounds like she's a fairly public figure. It's out there if you want it. Wisdom's out there if you want it, right? I mean, you do have a conscience. You still do see stuff there. When I was delivering packages downtown for all those years, there was a concrete trash receptacle on Nicollet Mall. And it sat there for years with Trust Jesus on it, graffitied on it. But I mean, nobody came along and for years nobody came along and painted over it or anything else. It's there for anybody to see any day of the week. Trust Jesus. Now I know there's more to the gospel than that. And there's more, some background information that's needed. But if you really wanted the truth, don't you think that you could at least get your claws into that and then go find out some more? And so look in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. You know, how about somebody, like I said on Sunday, Corey Keller, who is just going to church anywhere he can find a church, walks into a church and then opens a hymn book, and there's one of our tracks in there. Again, how does that work? Well, it's sown for somebody who wants the truth. Now, how many of our tracks have been found by people that immediately threw them away? Because they discounted them, right? And you can only imagine there would be a lot more that did that than that received it. But, I mean, light is sown for somebody that's willing to deal with the truth. Look, if you will, Proverbs 1:21. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scornings, and fools hate knowledge. Now, what I said to start here was that sometimes the light, sometimes the truth, is encapsulated in something that you don't like. So there's knowledge you don't want. And so sometimes the truth is encapsulated in knowledge that you don't want. And it goes deeper than that. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Now people today don't like reproof. But did you know that most of the light in the Bible, most of the truth in the Bible is encapsulated within a reproof. No, you're wrong. Here's the truth. And as soon as you say, no, you're wrong, somebody goes, I'm out. Talk to the hand. I'm out of here. They're not interested in that. You see what I'm saying? The truth, the light is encapsulated in something. It's like, you know, the seed of a I'm drawing a blank on the, not the redwood, but the trees we saw in California. Sequoia. Where, you know, not very many, there are millions of seeds that are set out by a sequoia tree. But very few of them ever sprout because they need to go through like fire and stuff like that for them to be activated. And so, you know, here's the all this power, this gigantic sequoia in a seed. And those cones are not the size of a giant sugar pine, you know, but they're in the size of a cone this size. And that tree will grow millions and millions of times more massive than that. And my point is simply to say that sometimes the light and the truth is encapsulated in something that we grow not to like. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. How are you going to get to the truth if wisdom's words are rejected? How are you going to get to the truth if you reject the words of the Bible? And yet we, you know, go into this all the time, or quite regularly in mainstream churches that very thing is done. Oh, it doesn't mean that, it means this. Or an alternate meaning might be this. Look down in verse 24, because I've called and you refused. See, light is sown, but you don't want it. Because I've called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel. There's something that truth and light is encapsulated in, is counsel. And there's some counsel people just don't want. You know, one guy says, I counsel thee to buy all the insurance that you can, because one day you're going to need it. Well, I counsel thee to deal with your soul. I counsel thee to settle the matter of eternal life. And most folks, I don't want that. They'd much rather deal with life insurance than soul insurance. It says, because I've called and ye refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel. I mean, you made it nothing and would none of my reproof. I mean, how often does somebody come to a door when you're out on a Saturday, and when they see what you're doing, they just close the door? And sometimes they see you and just don't open the door. But they would none of it. They're not interested in hearing a word. Hi, my name is Kyle Stevens, and we're just out today. I don't care. Go away. Get off my property. They would none of it. Now, when you start walking away from somebody trying to give you light, and I know there's JWs and I know there's Mormons, I know all that, but when it's the book, when it's the Bible, when you can no longer come to church because there are some things that you just don't want to hear, and it comes up all and you're just not going to listen, okay, then there's a very serious thing happening. The light is sown for the righteous, but you're not willing to fight your way through to get light, to get the truth. That's why I started with saying, may we never desire not to hunger for the truth. May we never, you know, get tired. You know, after you eat so much sugar, so much dessert, so much cake, you just don't want any more of the sugar. It's like, bleh. Okay, may we never get that way with the truth, right? Verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Comes a day that, oh, yes, you know, nursing home, mortuary, hospital. Oh, I want the truth now. Well, now the messenger's not interested. Now, who could blame God sometimes for some to say, not interested anymore. I'm not going to go out of my way to get light to you. Light was sown for the righteous all along, and you refused it because I encapsulated it in stuff that you didn't appreciate, but now you want it. What if there's ever a time the Lord says, well, I'm not interested in going out of my way anymore. I've gone the second and third mile. No. God is merciful, and everybody here would say that God has gone more than probably 2 miles for each of us. But you couldn't blame me. He wouldn't be unrighteous to say, nope. What is this testifying to here? I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord. There's something that light is encapsulated in, the fear of the Lord. And now, most Christians just recoil. I know not you, but most Christians just recoil from the idea that God's somebody to be feared, that we actually should incorporate fear in our view of God. Listen, when somebody is as all knowledgeable and as all powerful and as all present as God is and as all holy as God is, you better fear him. I'll be done with this passage in a second. They would none of my counsel. They despise my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and shall be filled with their own devices. Oh, God, help us that that never happened. Because if you ever get turned loose to do all that you want and all your devices are unmet by any kind of adversity, you are going down. Let me just take you to a couple other places. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 1. Now, I know I'm camped here just for a little bit, but light is sown for the righteous. Okay, the Lord leaves light, leaves truth, and he concentrated it in a book, but it really is all around us. The heavens declare the glory of God. Okay, you look up in the sky and you see the order. You look down at your feet at bugs and grass and flowers and stuff, and you see the order. And light is sown there for somebody that wants it. But there's a part of you that has to want it. And if you don't want it, and if you don't care, and if you're just waving everything off, then the Lord might one day wave you off as well. Look, as I said, at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And, I'm not there. Romans chapter 1. Go on down to verse 18. Now, y'all know the passage, I know, really well, but Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, you think America is a great country. Some people probably do. But America holds the truth in unrighteousness now, in the main. You're a strange and almost alien breed these days, as far as just wanting the truth about something. Most people don't want the truth about anything. They would rather look in a mirror and see a girl when they're a boy, some of them, or see a boy where there's a girl. They would much rather be deceived. They would much rather not have to hear anything at all about death. They would much rather just not hear the truth at all. Now, this goes on from verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, because they hold the truth in unrighteousness. Go on down to verse 23, where this passage is the only passage in the Bible that tells you where the homosexual passions come from. And if you deny this, you're rejecting the light. It says, and it changed the glory of the incorruptible God, verse 23, into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Notice who changed the truth of God into a lie. So they're actively changing the truth into a lie. Now, folks, if there's a testimony of how bad things can be, if you're not properly appreciating the truth, it's Romans 1. Because somebody is turned into a pervert who just started out being ungrateful and not glorifying God. Just, you know, and so, I'm sorry, homosexuality, sodomy is a progression. It's only genetic in the sense that sin dwells in all of us. And given enough leeway, that sin will destroy you. So in that regard, it's genetic. But in the sense of somebody's born a queer, that is not true. Every queer is made. Every queer is responsible for forming himself. Because he starts out ungrateful and not glorifying God. And he doesn't appreciate the truth. So there's that. And let me just continue here for just a couple minutes here with something else. Look finally in Romans chapter 2. Romans 2. And notice what it says here about every man. Now, some people read this to mean that, you know, people get saved by doing good works. That's not true. Notice, God will render to every man according to his deeds. Verse 6. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, what that means is that if you're trying to do right, the Lord will get the gospel to you. If you want the truth, the Lord will get the gospel to you. So that's the answer to how the guy that wrote Dr. Ruckman the letter about finding his picture paper in the jungle, that's how he got there. That's how he got there, because the guy wanted the truth. And so the Lord got the truth to him. But go on and add verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish is what will come upon them, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Now, there's a proper approach for the truth. And again, just bear with me here just for a little bit, because you now live in a country, in a world, really, but a country. As much as I love America and as much as I don't want to live somewhere else, you know, we're sliding down the slide on Greece about as fast as we can slide. And the reason why is because people don't love the truth. We're not going to have revival because America doesn't want the truth. The best you can hope is to be revived here and reach some of the last spoils of people that are actually seeking answers. Look in Proverbs with me just a minute. Proverbs 3, because the Lord has this, well, I hesitate to call it this, but the Lord has this policy. It comes from his character. It's the way he is. Proverbs chapter 3. It's the way God is, and you're not going to change how God is. But this is how God operates. Chapter 3, go on down to verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. And this is what we wanted. Surely he scorneth the scorners. The Lord's policy, it's his attribute, and it's from his holiness, is that if you scoff and laugh at the truth, He's going to scoff and laugh at you. Guess who gets the last laugh? Guess who lives forever and gets the last laugh? That's why it's, you know, it's such a heartbreak to, you know people that you try to get the truth to, and they just will have none of it. And then sometimes it goes a step further, and they're mocking and chiding about it. Well, I have a promise here that how the Lord looks at that is in verse 34. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Now, there's another verse here I'd like to show you. Look in Psalms 18. Psalms 18. There's no reason for anybody here to be scolded unless you're scorning the truth. This is really a, kind of a back door way of saying, may we always love the book. God wants to give us light. May we ever seek the light. May we never be turned off by what the light might be encapsulated in, whether it's rebuke, reproof, or it's hard to get to, it's mysterious, it's hard to understand, takes a lot of work, takes a lot of study. There's an attainment of Bible talks in 2 Timothy about attaining right doctrine. In other words, it doesn't just, you know, show up and get dumped on you. You actually have, it's like going through school. You actually have to build on top of former knowledge. It's like precept upon precept. It's like you, before you can subtract, you have to learn to add. Before you can multiply, you have to learn to add and subtract. Before you can learn to divide, you have to know how to multiply. And you're certainly not going to start out with quadratic equations. You have to build up to it. And that's what Bible knowledge is. That's what Bible knowledge is like. Psalms 18, go down in verse 26. Again, I'm pointing out that the Lord has this policy. It's an attribute of how he deals with people that approach him. And it says in verse 25, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou shalt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou shalt show thyself froward. Frowardness is willfully contentious by definition. Just, you know, somebody asks you a question, rah, rah, rah. Well, you approach, I know people that approach God like that. Now, what's his response? That's his response. So he says, oh, you don't want the truth? No problem. And turns and walks away. May that never be us. May that never be you. Right? Look, if you will, get my spectacles out to find this one because I can't see it because I wrote it too small. Let me take you to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. Look at verse 20. He that hath a froward heart, okay, a willfully contrary heart, argumentative, contradictory, always seeking a fight, loves to argue, looking to argue, right? Looking to back talk, be sassy, even with God. 17:20, he that hath a froward heart findeth no good. He that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. 22:5, Proverbs 22:5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. Willfully contrary. He's asking for trouble. Nobody likes thorns and snares. Nobody likes to leave the house in the morning And with the hopes of having a nice day and then walking into, snares and traps all day long where it seems like the universe is against you. Well, it's not the universe that's against you. Sometimes it might be God. Right. Sometimes maybe the kind of day you got is because of a froward heart.
That's right.
Look, I'm not scolding anybody here at all. I'm simply saying may it never be us. Because light is sown for the righteous. Do you understand that He wants you to have light? He wants you to have spiritual nourishment. He wants you to be able to take this meat and digest it. Light is sown for the righteous. I mean, He wants you to have it so bad He can taste it. But He is not so nostalgic and soft-hearted that He's going to give it to you if you don't want it. And He's certainly not going to feed it to you like pablum to a baby. If you're not hungry, then go away. Okay, back to Psalms 97. I might have killed the spirit there, sorry. But, man, you think about all that the Lord has left treasured, encapsulated in some things that maybe we don't like reproof and instruction and rebuke. Have to get through a negative truth to get to the positive one, that sort of thing. Have to learn the Bible because it's all precept upon precept. So you have to learn to add and then subtract and then multiply and then divide and then you can finally get something. But the Lord wants you to have it so bad. But you also have to want it. You have to be hungry enough to get it. Man, a squirrel in the winter will get into anything if he thinks there's food in there. A raccoon, a mouse. We're dealing with mice at our house. And if there's food, they're gonna do everything they can to get to it. Okay, why can't you be more like that? Spiritually. Amen? And again, I'm not getting on anybody. I'm saying, I rejoice at how faithful you are, how much you come. But may it never be us that rejects the light because it's too much work to get to.
Amen.
Verse 11. Light is sown for the righteous. I mean, God sows it. And gladness. See, there's a joy connected with it and gladness for the upright in heart. Don't you want to be happy? Well, light is sown for the righteous. And if you go and fight your way through and get some of that light, you can have the gladness that goes with it. But there has to be a certain uprightness of heart, a desire for the truth to get to it. And I spent all night on that, and my time is up. So anyway, that was just an admonishment. Let's take a hymn book.